In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Look on my affliction and deliver me.
For I do not forget your law.
Plead my cause and redeem me.
Give me life according to your promise.
Salvation is far from the wicked.
For they do not seek your statutes.
Great is your mercy, O Lord.
Give me life according to your rules.
Many are my persecutors and my adversaries.
But I do not swerve from your testimonies.
I look at the faithless with disgust.
Because they do not keep your commands.
Consider how I love your precepts.
Give me life according to your steadfast love.
The sum of your word is truth.
And every one of your righteous rules endures forever.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the
be with you.
As over with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the working of your Holy Spirit, grant that we may gladly hear your word proclaimed among us and follow its directing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is written in Jeremiah chapter 28, beginning at the 5th verse. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true." and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle from Romans chapter 7. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. Crown your ancient church's story, bring its bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days, for the living of these days. Cure your children's wearing madness, bend our pride to your control. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss your kingdom's call, lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Save us from weak's resignation to the evils we deplore. Let the gift of your salvation be grant us courage, serving you whom we adore. Serving you whom we adore.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the rather disturbing gospel that you just heard from Matthew chapter 10. It is a continuation of the words of our Lord Jesus from last week. And you remember he was just sending out the 12 apostles to preach, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons. And he's giving them instructions and warnings. So last week, you may recall that Jesus said, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." And he says, "They will deliver you over to courts and flog you." And he said, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father's child and children will rise against their parents." And he said, "A disciple is not above his teacher. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household?" And then at the very end of last week's gospel, our Lord said, "Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." And that's, as I said, where last week's gospel ends, and that is where this week's gospel begins, the very next words. And the focus shifts this week away from the apostles as preachers, and in fact of all preachers that will come after them, the things that they experience, and instead Jesus shifts to all disciples of Christ, whether pastors or laity, or as Luther says in the Catechism, pastors and hearers. What should hearers expect when the word of Christ is preached to them? And it's not what you might expect. The very first words in our text are, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth? I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." What possibly can this mean? I mean, just consider how often our worship services speak of peace, more than lamb. We just prayed, "In peace, let us pray to the Lord." Time and time again we prayed it. At the very end of sermons, pastors often say, "The peace of the Lord, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." In the communion liturgy, the pastor proclaims, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." And after communion, we sing, "Lord, now you let your servant go in peace." And of course, even the benediction at the very end of the service, "The Lord blesses you with peace." So what can Jesus mean here? "Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." Jesus means that he's not coming to bring peace in the way that people usually think of peace. He's not going to bring an end to all wars and conflict. That is, not until he comes again in glory on the last day. Until then, our Lord warns, not only here, but in many places, conflicts of all sorts will not only continue, but even become worse as the end approaches. This is an extremely important point in our present situation, because we are constantly flooded with the doctrine of progressivism. Progressivism proclaims that the innate direction of humanity is to become better and better until a perfect society is established on earth. There will be perfect equality. Everyone will have as much as what everyone else has and will be happy. We will learn to protect the environment so that it will be safe for all. We will learn to overcome all diseases. And then humanity will have perfect peace in this world. To progressivism, the achievement of this peace is the chief end of every human endeavor. It should be, according to progressivism, the chief end of all of our politics and all of our education and even of our families and of our religion. Progressivism is, in fact, itself a false secular religion. Now, understand, we should all strive to bring peace between nations and different ethnic groups. We should strive to take care of the earth, which has been entrusted to us by the Creator. We should strive to help those who are poor and sick. And in fact, we may even enjoy times of relative peace and prosperity. We do. But ultimately, all of that is temporal. It is temporary. It cannot last because human beings are sin-broken people living in a sin-broken creation. In the end, healing only comes from God, who sent his Son to die and rise again for our forgiveness, and who together with the Son send the Holy Spirit through the Word, so that those who hear the preaching, hearers, may believe and trust in him. Only God in Christ will save this world in the last. And in fact, we even can see God's hidden mercy when times become bad, either on a personal level or on a wider national and global level. What if life were always easy and good? What if every day it seemed that things indeed got better and better every way, every day? Then what would happen to us? Well, our hearts would be content apart from our Savior Jesus. But when the sorrows and conflicts of life crash upon us, when we see that things are out of hand, when we must admit there is no hope, no lasting peace in this age, then we turn to the only one in whom there is indeed the peace that passes all understanding. You only, dear Jesus, are my hope. Like the thief on the cross, what hope could he possibly have had? And yet he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you remember what Jesus says. Today you will be with me in paradise. Only Jesus brings paradise. But it will not come in this age. It will indeed come. Jesus will bring it with him on the last day, and God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will create a new heavens and a new earth for the joy and perfect peace of all who have believed the preaching and know the forgiveness of sins in Jesus. But there's more to this text. And I think that the hardest part of the text are these words. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I've seen it happen, and you probably have too. A son or a daughter turns away from the faith of his parents. They no longer go to church. They no longer believe that Jesus is the Savior. Or they begin to live lives in a way that's contrary to God's word. And perhaps some of you have already experienced this crushing sorrow. If not, you should prepare yourself. Pray for your children and grandchildren that this does not happen. But also, what will you do if your child begins to live in a way that is contrary to God's word? Will you love Jesus more than you love your son or daughter or grandchild? And note, this does not mean to reject or to hate or to shun your family member. If they engage in sin, it's not our place to shame or disown them, but it is our place to honestly and in love speak the truth to them and not accept their sin, not to give them a safe haven to engage in their sin, but to hold fast to what the Bible teaches. I know of a family that turned against their pastor when their child moved in with a lover. The pastor would no longer commune this person, and the parents were furious. They loved their child more than they loved the Lord. But you might say, no, it's not that they love their child more than Jesus. Rather, they love their child more than they loved church rules. But this was not a matter of man-made regulations. Rather, it was the very word of Christ who created marriage. To love Christ means to love his word. I mean, this is true even in human relations. If you claim to love someone, but you really are not at all interested in listening to them, then your love rings hollow. How much more than with Jesus and the Father, whose word does not fail, whose word is always true? How can we claim to believe in and love our God and Savior Jesus if we do not believe in and love his word and hold to it? So Jesus is warning us in this text that we must be ready to love him even more than those we love most in this world. To love him means to believe him and his word and to hold to it. This is overwhelming. How can I possibly do this? Because it requires more than just willpower. It requires that we come to know more and more that our greatest treasure, even above our husband or wife, our children or anyone, what we need more than we need them is Jesus. Jesus speaks of us losing our lives for his sake and finding it. Dear Christian, understand that your life is not your work, it's not your family, your life is not present or future success. Your life is not this country. Because of your baptism, your life is now something different, something much bigger. These other things are treasures that we enjoy and care for, perhaps even lay down our life for, if the Lord wills, but they are not your life. St. Paul the Apostle explains what your life is in Colossians 3. He writes that in baptism, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Your life is Jesus, and Jesus will never die again. Which means that you, even though you will die, you will live. And the same is true for all of your loved ones who've fallen away if they repent and return to Jesus. So if we truly want them to have a good life, then we want them to have Jesus. We want them to believe in Jesus and his word more than anything else, and to turn away from their sin. We can dare to lose our life, all those people, all those things that we treasure, because we really have gained life in our Lord Jesus. Remember what he said, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Do you wonder if you have what it takes to hold on to Jesus, even at the loss of all things, even your dear children and other loved ones? Do you have what it takes to be faithful to Jesus unto death? No, you don't, and I don't. But Jesus, who is your life, has given you and still gives you what you need. He has given you this very word here today as warning and as guidance. Receive it. Believe it. He has baptized you, giving you forgiveness and giving you his Holy Spirit and new life in him. Believe it and hold on to it. And here, as the very crown of all of his gifts, Jesus gives into your mouth his body and his blood. His body to strengthen you, and his own blood, which is his life. Believe it, eat it, and drink it. Jesus will sustain you. Jesus is your life. The peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take my
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors and ministers of the church, that they would be preserved in the pure doctrine of Christ's saving word, defended against all adversities, and thereby strengthened in faith and love, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who feel the sword of division brought about by the confession of Christ's truth, especially within their own families, that seeing as Christ also was rejected on earth by friends and relatives, they would be assured that their stand is necessary, be guarded from seeking a false and easier peace, and be turned in every earthly disappointment toward God's eternal and undivided church. Church triumphant, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For homes filled with grace, that God would bring them peace and not a sword, fostering a common love and knowledge of his ways that nourishes our families in love for one another, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all couples who are newly married or planning for their wedding in the coming weeks, that the Lord would bless their marriages with enduring love and faithfulness toward one another and also toward God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Lord's blessing on all our work activities, that he may bless us with favorable weather, safety, and success, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the authorities of our nation, that God would give them integrity and honor, and for all citizens, that God would bless them with charity and preserve them from sinful contempt of good order and godly laws, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For thanksgiving to God for the 247 years of blessings upon the United States of America since the Declaration of Independence, that he would lead all citizens to thanksgiving, service to all fellow citizens, and fear and respect of him, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those displaced from their homes by violence, war, or persecution, that God would provide for their needs and foster in them the hope of an eternal home in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For true peace, that God would strengthen his people to hold fast to his word in times of trouble, that he would preserve them from false messages of peace that do not remove sin, and that he would sustain them in the grace of Christ, especially Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Don, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Sue and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, the Rodriguez family, Charles, Sandy, Jeanette, Sandy, Marty, Pastor Shivey, and others that we name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all who commune today, that we who have died to the law in Christ and now belong to him who is raised from the dead may receive his sacrament with penitent hearts and in a true confession. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us in Christ, that we may bear much fruit. Receive our inadequate thanks for your kindness, especially toward all who have died in the faith and now rest from their labors. Preserve us in the way of the Holy Spirit until we stand with them in glory. For you live and reign with the same Son and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and send your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy.
Supplication. O Savior, Son of God, accept my adoration. O Holy Spirit, be my ever faithful guide, that I may serve you. Word has been fulfilled. have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
To sing to heaven's heart.